Bill Mueller will come introduce our scripture and read it for us. Does such a wonderful job of it.
Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley. Today's scripture is about the Ten Commandments. And when Jesus was asked about what was the greatest commandment in the law, he replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. The second is love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Now for the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20, 1 through 17. "And God spoke all these words, 'I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall make yourself no image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for their sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and make it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male or female servant, his ox or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Thank you, Bill. Some of you will notice that the Bibles in the pew are the Revised Standard Version. The one on the screen is the NIV, or the New International Version. Sermon this morning is about joyful responsibility. Sometimes it seems like oxymoron to be responsible and to be joyous at the same time. Doesn't seem like it goes together. Jeannie Duck is a single mother with a 3-year-old daughter. One day, the mother, Jeannie, was given a 2-pound box of dark chocolates. Every woman's dream, right? Well, being a chocolate lover, Jeannie was in seventh heaven. She was oohing and aahing over the box of chocolate, and her daughter, Jennifer, joined in the excitement. This was a bad sign as far as she was concerned. Jennifer was excited. It was because she was expected to share in some of Jeannie's newfound bounty in this chocolate. She didn't particularly want to share it. Clearly, the only way she could get rid of her was to give her a piece of candy. And thank goodness it was bedtime, so she gave her a piece of chocolate and sent her on to bed. And so Jeannie ate a few more pieces of her chocolate, and then she went to bed also. Later that night, there was a terrible, terrible storm, and it woke her up. Jeannie got up in the dark and went from room to room, closing the windows that were left open. And as she did, she stepped on some crunchy things in the hallway. You know, the little paper wrappers that the individual pieces of chocolate come in, they were scattered all over the floors. And every step she took, she stepped on one, she crunched on another, like a breadcrumb trail leading to the little girl's bedroom. Jeannie was stunned. She thought, she's only 3 years old, for goodness sake. How could she polish off 2 pounds of chocolate candy? She found Jennifer, she found Jennifer sound asleep in her bed, looking like a little angel. Waking her daughter, she said sternly, "Jennifer, duck, you ate all the candy." She said, "No, I didn't, Mama." With a very sincere look of earnestness on her face, and at the same time a look of fear on her face, her mama had caught her. She said, "Oh, yes, you did. Only 2 people live in this house, you and me." And a little girl hung her head and got a little quiet look on her face, and she said, "I wish I had a little brother." If she did, then she could turn around and blame her little brother for eating the chocolate, at least part of it. Every child sometimes wishes they had a little sister or a little brother. And I was the eldest in my family, so I did a lot of blaming, passing it down. It'd be convenient to play the blame game. And we do it not just as children, but we do it as adults. Sometimes back a Colorado man actually did this, a malparenting suit. He sued his parents for $300,000. Said they didn't raise him properly. They had intentionally done a terrible job of parenting and had made him into what he is today. Judge, thank goodness, dismissed the suit, saying there must be some statute of limitations on parenting. Judge went on to say that there must come a time when an adult takes responsibility for his or her own life. If we don't, then the next suit will come against brothers, against sisters, against friends. Where will it stop? It's like an old Peanuts cartoon. Peppermint Patty telephones Charlie Brown and says, "Guess what, Chuck? It's the first day of school, and I got sent to the principal's office. And it's your fault." "Why do you always say everything's my fault? What did I do?" "Well, you're my friend, aren't you, Chuck? You should have been a better influence on me." That's the spirit of the times, isn't it? Find someone to lay the blame on. Couldn't be me. It's got to be someone else. It's like a headline that appeared in a small town newspaper. Actually said this: state population to double by 2040. Babies to blame. Think about it for a second. How do you blame the babies for doubling the population? They didn't do anything. They just got born. A book called Wind, Sand, and Stars. A man is flying over the Andes in Chile. He delivers the mail. His plane never really got up high enough because of the wind, the snow, the cold, the ice. So he had to land on a frozen lake in the wilderness. He took the bags of mail and piled them up around himself, and he lay there for 2 days. 2 nights. Then the storm finally subsided, and he got up and he crawled for 4 days and 4 nights. Temperatures 20 below zero. He finally got to civilization. How did he make it? How did he overcome the desire to just not lay down and rest and die in those horrible, terrible conditions? When he was asked about it, he said he thought of his wife and family and how much they needed him. He thought of his responsibility, believe it or not, to get the mail through. It was his job to do it. And he survived, although his hands and his feet were amputated. When author of the book and his friend described his friend's bitter experience and his superhuman struggle to survive, he summed it all up in one sentence. To be a human being is precisely to be responsible. That is, there it is, a crucial theological statement. A statement so critical to our understanding of life that it often goes unspoken and unexamined. To be human is to be responsible. When God placed Adam and Eve in the garden, they were given a responsibility to tend to the garden and keep God's one commandment. Do not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Unfortunately, they failed the test of responsibility. Adam and Eve had two sons, Cain and Abel. Then Cain slew Abel in a jealous rage. And when confronted with his crime, Cain cried out, "Am I my brother's keeper?" In other words, he was asking if he was responsible for his brother. And I think we know the answer to that. A lawyer once asked Jesus a question very similar to that one. When Jesus said, "Are we to love our neighbors? We love ourselves." The lawyer said, "Well, who is our neighbor?" In other words, how far does my responsibility extend? Am I responsible for my family, for my immediate neighbor, for people on the other side of the country? Am I responsible to love people in Mexico? Where does it end? How far does my responsibility go? Jesus' disciples struggle with this same question. Is the gospel just for the Jews? Or is it for the Gentiles also, people outside of the Jewish civilization? Am I responsible for people who respond to me positively, in a positive manner? Or how about people who do not, that might be my enemies? Am I responsible for them too? Our Old Testament text today contains a set of moral injunctions that we know today as the Ten Commandments. And what are the Ten Commandments but an attempt to define human responsibility, to put some limits on human behavior? Thou shalt not kill. It's a pretty good one. Thou shalt not steal. I kind of like that one. Honor thy father and thy mother. That's a good one too. What are our responsibilities to our neighbor? What are my responsibilities to God? And the Ten Commandments seek to answer those questions. To be a human being is to be responsible. And we say to young people, be responsible. We say the same thing to married couples. Be responsible to new drivers, to new voters. Be responsible. Before you go vote, at least try to learn something about the candidates. Before you go drive, try to learn how to drive. Don't text while you're driving. Pay attention while you drive. Every facet of our life together depends on people acting responsible. When you don't, things break down. That is such a simple, obvious truth, and yet we often fail to confront it. To be human is to be responsible. And that, of course, can be a problem. There are any of us who want to tell someone, be told by someone to act responsibly. None of us like to hear that. Is anyone here married or partnered up with someone and you ever want them to say to you, you better act responsible? None of us do. You better straighten up and fly right. We don't. Whether we're a teenager or we are an adult, we don't want to hear it. Responsibility is a heavy burden for many of us to bear. And what we really long for at times is an escape from reality, an escape from the drudgery of everyday life. And we all escape by doing things, going to the movies, watching the Steelers or the Penguins or the Pirates, whatever it might be that you like to do, going out to eat with friends, going to a gym, working out, taking a cooking class, baking, playing on your computer, doing something that is fun, doing something that you enjoy. But look at another side of escaping. When we do things, how many alcoholics and drug addicts are chemically snared while seeking escape? Oh, this won't get me. I'll not become addicted. I can handle it. How many affairs and other destructive activities are a simple product of people running away from responsibility? And many of us resent responsibilities. We just don't want to have them. Who among us would not rather escape from them rather than face up to our responsibilities? And yet, to be emotionally mature is to be responsible. To be a follower of Jesus Christ is to be responsible. Many of you know of the book. Many of you have read the book by Dr. Scott Peck, The Road Less Traveled. And you know the emphasis he places upon accepting responsibility. Dr. Peck is both a psychiatrist and a medical doctor. He tells about counseling a man who was a career sergeant in the Army stationed in Okinawa. The sergeant was in serious trouble because of his excessive drinking. In the sessions, the sergeant denied that he was an alcoholic or even that he had even a slight problem with drinking. He said, "There's nothing else to do here in Okinawa except drink." Trying to justify his drinking. Peck asked him if he liked reading. And the sergeant said he loved to read, so the doctor asked him if he just couldn't read a book instead of going out drinking. He said, "Well, the barracks are just too noisy to read in the barracks." So he said, "Why don't you go to the library?" He said, "Well, the library is too far to go." But the bar was just as far to go to. Dr. then suggested fishing, which the sergeant liked. He said, "I work in the day, and I can't go night fishing." So Peck said, "Well, I know some people, and I can put you in touch with them, who are very enthusiastic night fishers." And suddenly the sergeant wasn't much of a fisherman anymore. So Dr. Peck said, summing things up, there are things you could do besides drinking. But given the choice, you're going to choose drinking over any of them. The sergeant said, "Yeah, I guess you're right." "But since it's getting you in all kinds of trouble," Dr. Peck says, "seems like you've got a pretty severe dilemma on your hands." The sergeant started cursing and said, "Well, this island could drive anyone to drink." Making excuses, excuse after excuse after excuse, trying to escape responsibility. Members of AA learned that the first step to their addiction is admitting that they have a problem. There was no hope for this sergeant if he refused to face the reality that he had a problem. And that's true of all of us. If there's a problem in our life that is robbing us of our health, maybe it's from improper eating habits, eating junk food all the time, robbing us of our joy, something going on in our life, a sin in our life that is taking joy away from us, something robbing us of our close relationship with our spouse or our family, robbing us of our peace of mind, whatever it might be. We need to face up to what it is, face it head on, and deal with it. Because to be human is to be responsible. To be a follower of Jesus Christ is to be responsible. And ultimately, responsibility is our response to God's love as manifested in Jesus Christ. If we resent responsibility, it may be that we do not understand really what responsibility is. Responsibility should be our joyful response. Joyful response to what God has done for us in and through Jesus Christ. That is why the Ten Commandments and the Great Commandment are relevant to our lives. We read in 1 John 4, "We love because He first loved us. We take responsibility for ourselves and others because He first took responsibility for us upon the cross at Calvary." Responsibility is not a terrible weight we carry, at least it should not be. Responsibility is the road we travel on our way to the abundant life that Christ has provided for us. Reverend John Jewell uses this analogy. A dear friend of his is a recovering alcoholic, and one day his friend said to him, "If I heard once, I heard a million times that I need to change as though I didn't know that I need to change." I decided to change almost every night of my drinking life. I would finish my bottle with the absolute promise to myself that the next day would be different. I would be a new day, but it never was. But his friend did change. He was able to overcome his addiction and abuse to alcohol because he started taking responsibility for his life. He did it by responding to the love poured out through Jesus Christ. He quit fighting his addiction in his own strength and turned it over to God. And that's how you win. He said, "It may sound weird, but it's like I handed over my remote to God." If I asked for a raise of hands, I said, "How many of you want to return a remote over to someone else?" None of you would. How many of you want to turn their TV remote over to somebody else and let them choose the channels? You don't. Well, think about it. How hard is it when we really turn our lives over to God? To really say, "Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, I turn my life over to you. I want you to take it and do with it as you want." We start to do that and say, "But I really want to keep this and this and this and this and this, but you can have this, but I'll take this," and we kind of divvy it up. God said, "I kind of want all of you, but we want to drive, and we really kind of need to let God do it." But it's hard. But God created us to be responsible. Responsible parents, responsible friends, responsible spouses, responsible family members, responsible employees, and responsible employers. And we can do it without Christ. We can. We can play at it, but many of us will feel that we are living in a straitjacket, and we will not do it with a sense of joy. There'll be no joy in our lives, only a sense of duty. And that was what was wrong with the Ten Commandments from the very beginning. People could not keep them with a sense of joy. They were a taskmaster. But if we will make a fresh commitment to God, turn our remote over to God, if our lives are lived in response to the love poured out for us in Jesus Christ, and look at it through a sense of joy that can be a new dimension to our lives, a new enthusiasm for Christ and for our lives and for church, we'll be living out of grace and not simply doing good works out of some religious duty that will bore you to death and break you down. To be human is to be responsible. But to know Christ, to really know Christ and to live for Christ, makes living responsibly a joy. May God bless you. Amen.